Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh, I got it.
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what did you think of An American Werewolf in Paris?
I'm pissed as hell.
And you're not going to take it anymore?
You seem to have a knack for finding movies that I really like that I didn't get a chance to watch when I was younger. And so I'm only discovering movies like I should have seen this in 1997 when it came out. Sophomore Chad would have just loved this because 38-year-old Chad loves this. And I don't love it because it's particularly good.
No, it's not particularly good.
This is a 1997 movie in the truest sense and the most glorious fashion that one can imagine.
Imagine this on a double feature with The Craft.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Oh.
You want to tell our listeners what this thing is about?
Yeah, so... in the 80s, there was a movie called An American Werewolf in London. You do not have to see this to watch An American Werewolf in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
It is based on that movie, but only just. So, the story follows Andy and his two friends, Brad and Chris, and they are going to Paris. They are on a tourism tour of Europe, I guess. The Daredevil tour, as they call it, and they're doing weird stunts at each of the location and trying to get laid as much as possible for quote unquote sex points.
It's a movie from 1997.
Yeah. And currently, Brad is in the lead.
Well, of course he is.
Of course he is. The goofiest looking of the three,
mm-hmm.
But I digress. So they get to Paris, and it's Andy's turn for a stunt, and he's going to blow them all away by bungee jumping off the Eiffel Tower.
Not the best decision one could make.
No. So they go into the Eiffel Tower, they hide, it closes. You know, they close up shop for the day, and then we get this, you know, montage of them climbing stairs and ladders and two of them complaining about the height of everything and Andy just trudging along, you know.
It is riveting.
It is
film.
Riveting, yes. Fun fact, if you pause in some scenes, you can count the rivets. So they get up to the top of the Eiffel Tower and they're telling Andy, you're not going to do this. You're not. And he dumps out the bungee cords and starts laying everything out and coiling it up and putting the straps on his ankles. Mm-hmm. And they're like, dude, you don't have to do this because they know it's a stupid ass stunt.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting ready. They're trying to talk about this and they hear someone coming. And so they hide as best they can. And this woman comes up mm-hmm. and Andy is absolutely smitten with her. She's, you know, his idea of beauty.
Yep.
And she pulls out a piece of paper and reads it and folds it up, puts it, you know, kind of holds on to it, climbs up onto the railing like she's going to jump. And Andy steps out and goes, whoa, wait, you know, trying to talk to her. It's like, listen, it's going to be okay. Nothing's worth this. Please don't. Well, she jumps and he jumps after her to try and, well, no, he goes to grab her and gets and falls off in an effort to save her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't jump after her. He falls and then tries to catch her.
Yeah, you hit this scene of her just falling limp down to the ground and him doing, you know, arms back, you know, trying to gain as much speed as possible to catch her.
He's doing the Iron Man dive.
Yeah, he is. He manages to grab her foot, and the friends realize that the bungee cord isn't tied off, so they dive, grab it, and get banged into the railing, and they hold on for dear life. About maybe a foot from the ground,
mm-hmm.
the shoe comes off her. She falls the final foot, lands okay, and then he sails back up majestically. not realizing that the Eiffel Tower is curved at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And so on his ascent, bangs his head on one of the steel girders.
In a just world, he would be dead.
Yes. So he wakes up in the hospital and...
Concussed, I hope.
And tries to convince his friends that, you know, please, go find her. Go find her. So they go try to find the note that she left.
They really are good friends.
They really are, yes. They tease him about, you know, his Cinderella, because he's still got the shoe.
Right.
But they are good friends trying to help him, because he's absolutely serious about this. We have to find her in case she hurt, you know.
Yeah.
So he's in the hospital. He sees her.
Mm-hmm.
And goes after her. And being the doofus that he is, he finally locks eyes with her in the hallway. His face is bandaged up. You know, he's in a hospital outfit. He holds up her shoe and says, I got your shoe. And then gets banged in the back of the head by a door opening, and she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of time Andy gets hit in the head in this movie is...
amazing.
Amazing.
I'm not going to say it's beyond count. I'm sure we could. It just... wow, man. Wow.
So, they get out of the hospital. They find the suicide note that she was going to leave. Mm-hmm. They track her down.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, they find her house, she opens the door, and it looks like she's got blood on her. And this concerns Andy, because he's afraid she's trying to kill herself again.
Mm-hmm.
She assures him that it's fine, it's just paint. And if he agrees to go away, she will meet him later that day, and they can have coffee or something.
Mm-hmm.
The friends try to sabotage this a little bit, because they're good friends, which means they're also going to mess with them a little bit.
They're good friends. They're the friends that are off to the side, ready to make all the moaning sounds when mom calls, because
yes,
it's just like, oh baby, you know, yeah. Those are the kind of friends, you know, the ones that you look at, you give dirty looks to, but you know that the next time their mom calls, you're going to do the same thing.
Yeah. So there's a scene in the cafe where he pulls out a napkin from his shirt pocket, and on the bottom it says, if you bang me, it's worth 1,000 sex points. He doesn't see this, but she does. He then goes for something else, and condoms spill out all over the table. He says, oh, it's gum. Somebody made gum that looks like condoms. It's all the rage in the America. She goes to chew one, and he grabs it, puts it in his mouth, chews it.
Blow me a bubble.
The biggest bubble you can make. It is a tradition in Paris. So he does, and it comes out in the shape of an inflated condom.
Which, of course it does.
It flies out of his mouth, does the balloon bit, lands in somebody's soup. They realize it's his. A fight starts, but she deftly finishes it by pushing this big muscly guy halfway across the room and flees.
Now, bear in mind, this is just the first half hour of the movie.
Yes.
You know, we're getting all this setup of him being a dork.
Yes.
That's what we're getting.
That's what we're getting, yes. And the entire time, she's like, you need to go. Please just go. They go back to her house later that day and run into what we assume is like a brother or something. Mm. Claude. He's her protector. You know, he's looking out for her because her parents are dead. And we know this. And he says, well, she's not here right now, but come to my party later. I love Americans. Come to my party later, and gives him a flyer and says, she'll be there. You know, please come. So they do at Club de la Luna.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And what we find out, so we get there, one of the friends goes back to the house because Seraphim is her name.
Serafina,
yeah. Hasn't shown up yet, and Andy's worried. So one friend, Chris, goes back to the house to try and find her. And he finds her locked in a cell in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells him, you know, get the hell out of here. It's dangerous. Well, what do you mean it's dangerous? You're locked up. We're at the party waiting for you. She realizes what's going on, demands to be let out, and then she hits Chris, locks him up in the cell, and then leaves. The reason for this being is that Claude, his friends, are werewolves. And this is a kind of a feeding frenzy for them, if you will.
Yummy.
Yeah. So Serafina shows up at the last minute, grabs Andy, and escapes through a tunnel just before the feeding begins, and a lot of people die.
Including Chris.
Yeah.
Chris, right?
No, Brad.
Brad.
Well, Brad...
the goofy-looking guy.
Yeah. Brad sees the secret tunnel and follows them out a few minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
And in the tunnels, while he's trying to find Andy, gets killed by a werewolf. Serafina is also a werewolf, and as she's beginning to change, throws Andy into another tunnel and tells him to run, which he does, gets lost, gets attacked by a werewolf. We're not sure who. We think it's Serafina. But he manages to escape with his life, but he's been bitten.
Yep.
And he wakes up the next day in her house, in a bed.
The number of beds this guy wakes up in and not yes. knows where he is is also more than you should count. Like, if you had a nickel for every time it happened, you'd have two nickels, which isn't much, but it's weird.
But it's weird, yeah. So she comes in and is trying to... Okay, listen. I need you to listen carefully because she's going to explain everything.
Exposition, exposition.
And in order to keep him calm, she straddles him, takes her shirt off, and puts his hands on her breast because that is a common thing for men.
Yep. This will calm you down, no?
Oh, yeah. He
such a strange show.
Yeah. He doesn't believe her. He thinks it's just some weird thing she's playing at. Until her mother shows up.
Her dead mother.
Well, I'm getting to that.
Well, we've already mentioned that.
Well, yes, yes, yes. She's dead. She quickly averts Andy's eyes and has this argument with her mother. And then Andy goes, wait, isn't your mother dead? And pushes himself over, sees the corpse of her mother, freaks out, and runs away.
Mm-hmm.
At which point, we also discover the he goes back to the club, finds out that everybody's been killed, including Brad. And later, while he's trying to figure out what the hell's going on, Brad shows up. The ghost of Brad.
Yeah.
And tells him, okay, dude, here's the score. You're a werewolf. I now walk the earth as the unholy dead until the werewolf that killed me dies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can I be... Is there a way to make me human again? Yeah. Eat the heart of the werewolf that bit you, which mm-hmm. he thinks is Serafine.
Yep.
So, Andy is trying to deal with all of this, and as he's becoming more animalistic in his senses, we get this wonderful shot of him trying, suddenly dealing with all of that. His heightened mm-hmm. sense of smell and hearing and all of that. And he runs into a woman that he now is animalistically attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up in the cemetery going to make, as you do, going to have sex on Jim Morrison's grave, as you do. In the night
makes
of a full
me.
Moon, he transforms, chases her, kills her.
Bummer. And, she's a good character.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she is then following him around because if he dies, she gets to ascend to, you mm-hmm. know, whatever.
So she goes out of her way to make sure that other werewolves know.
Yeah.
Hey, he's over here.
Claude and his henchmen get a hold of Andy, bring him back, say, listen, you weren't supposed to be turned because we're trying to make this very pure race of werewolves, free of disease and modern day trappings and whatever, but we will allow you to live if you join us. And how do you join us? Well, you remember Chris?
Yeah.
He's been captured.
The good looking one.
Yeah. No, so you kill him to prove your allegiance to us. Andy refuses. There's a bit of a scuffle. Serafina shows up. They escape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's then she explains to him, okay, I am a werewolf. I accidentally killed my family when I turned my father, stepfather, whatever, is a scientist. He was trying to figure out a drug that would keep me from transforming.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing so, made it so that I could transform any time, not just during a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I killed them.
Well, that's no good.
That's no good. Claude shows up. They ransack the house. They find the serums that the father had created and are now going to make themselves a werewolf anytime they want. And are going to throw a big, raging 4th of July party for the Americans.
Because.
They get there. And all hell breaks loose. People are transforming into werewolves. People are dying. They manage to unbar the door so that some people can escape. Mm-hmm. They chase Claude down into the sewers. There's a scuffle between Werewolf Claude and Serafina Werewolf, mm-hmm. because she injected herself with the serum too to attack. Andy shoots her. No, it's not Claude. It's another werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
Andy shoots her by accident, thinking she's someone else. And she's like, listen, you have to kill me and eat my heart so you can at least be free. He can't do it. The cops show up and he runs off. Mm-hmm. And she's taken by ambulance to the hospital. He follows Claude down into the subway. They end up on a train. The transformation of him wears off. And he's about to re-inject himself. Andy and he fight. And that's when he realizes that Claude was the one that transformed him.
Mm-hmm.
So he manages to inject himself first, kills Claude, eats his heart. And apparently Claude also transformed Serafina. So now they are both free of the curse.
Hmm.
The werewolf is dead and the heart has been eaten.
Mm-hmm.
So cut to several full moons
later.
That's
not how I interpreted it, but keep going.
Okay.
We'll talk about it after.
Okay, that's fine. So several full moons later, we see Andy and Serafina getting ready to celebrate their wedding by bungee jumping off of the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm. And the one friend lives.
And the one friend lives. Chris lives, yes.
Chris will live.
And end movie.
Yeah. So I interpreted that ending as she talks about specifically that the serum that her stepfather or father created, the scientist dude, was a sedative.
Uh-huh.
You know, but when she's being loaded up in the ambulance and starts crashing, they give her an adrenaline boost. And so I got the sense that the adrenaline is what helps control her.
Okay.
Like, he ends the curse on himself by eating Claude's heart, but then, which also would let the American woman go free, because he's no longer a werewolf,
that's
right?
True, yes.
So, whew! Thank goodness. She's a good character, but man, she deserves some happiness.
Yes.
And so I got the sense that that was the bungee jumping off of the Statue of Liberty was it's a big adrenaline moment that helps keep her her thing down. Either one I'm perfectly happy with. It's just kind of there's no good reason for them to jump off of the Statue of Liberty, you know, because you break several federal laws to do so, unless it's something like that. To me.
I took it as because they set some stupid stuff like that up earlier in the film where that's just what they do.
An earlier movie. Yeah. I can see that too.
It ties the movie back to the beginning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They do stupid stunts like this. She's married to Andy. Now she's okay with doing stupid stunts.
Okay. Yeah. That's
what I took
from it.
But
like I said,
yeah.
Either one I'm kind of okay with on this. This is I remember the preview for this movie, you know, where in the preview you have that super sexy moment where she's straddling him in the bed. This is right after he turns,
mm-hmm.
in the context of the movie, but we don't know that.
Yeah.
And And we see him looking up at her as she's taking off her shirt. And as she does, she transforms into the top half into a werewolf. And then it cuts away in the preview. That's all that I knew going into this movie.
Okay.
You know, and I'm watching it, and there are a couple of cringy moments where in the context of the film, it makes sense. But looking at it with, you know, 23-year-old, more years, more experience, it's just like, that's kind of cringy. When he won't take no
for an answer. Yeah.
He keeps... In context, he thinks she's suicidal.
Yeah.
You know, and is desperately not wanting her to be alone. But because we know that she's not trying to kill herself, or at least we assume not.
Yeah.
It comes out cringy. The characters in this work so well, specifically the three friends early in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, Chris, and Brad. They fit so well as friends. You get the sense that they probably had to hang out together for about a couple weeks before they made the movie.
Probably, yeah.
You know, drinking beer, smoking pot, and watching movies.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of friendship that you see on display here. It honestly makes the romance part between Seraphine and Andy stilted and weird. Because it's not nearly so natural.
Yeah.
And part of that can be attributed to nerves and, you know, so on and so forth. And Andy's genuinely clueless nature. But it never really picks up and becomes natural until the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, at the very end, at the wedding, it's like, okay, now I see it clicking.
Yeah.
But as the movie says, that's many, many full moons later.
Yes.
It's a fun movie. It's stupidly fun. Like, you watch it, you're just like, man, this is dumb. What's going to happen next?
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, and so I'd recommend it. It's not a thinking man's piece.
No.
You know, in that, I suppose it could be, I don't know, but
no.
It wasn't for me. It was an enjoyable popcorn flick, and popcorn flick here is not a derogatory term.
No.
Popcorn flick here is a film that is meant to entertain and does so in grand fashion.
Yes.
And so I'm glad I watched it. This was a fun movie.
I'm glad. My only real complaint with the movie is the CGI of the werewolves. and
very 97.
There's a caveat to this, because when it's very low lighting in the film and you get that really creepy aspect, it works great. But when the werewolves are shown in a bit more light,
or if you only see part of the werewolf,
or if you only see, you know, part of it, it works great. When you see the full werewolf and it's a well-lit area, it breaks down, because it looks less werewolfy and more
Planet of the Apes
kind of thing. Yeah,
it's something that, so Werewolves of London insisted on using practical effects as much as possible.
Yes.
And this one, because it's not using those practical effects, it can do a lot more things, but it means that the CGI had to be much, much more mature. It would be interesting to see what it would look like today.
Yeah.
And how much of what they did was art stylistically, because the wolves don't even look like wolves.
No.
But how much of it is that, and how much of it is the actual limitations?
Yeah.
So, but even that, I'm able to look past it.
Yeah.
Because I'm able to say, 97. I mean, look at their pants.
Yeah. Listen to the soundtrack. Yeah.
So,
overall, American Werewolf in London is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want a slightly sillier movie to watch involving werewolves, This isn't a bad one.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm waiting for a Parisian werewolf in Boise. I think that would make an amazing... It'd probably have to be a vampire movie, but just imagine that for a minute. You know, vampire, French vampire in Boise. We'd probably end up making Darren watch it.
We absolutely would make Darren watch it.
Uh-huh.
We wouldn't tell him that's what it is, though.
No. It'd be a double feature, that one and Velocipaster.
Yes.
All right.
So, I believe it is your turn.
And I'll come up with something.